This is the Levels Podcast. I am Justin Hoddle, joined as always by the Triple OG, Whitamoo Mason. Mace, what's going on, brother?
No, not a lot, man. Not a lot in the last couple of days. Just looking at some of the shit that we're going to talk about, I suppose.
Some big...
Just all over the place, isn't it? It's hard to get away from it, even though we're not talking about it, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's just fucking filling up everything.
Well, one of them is going to be the RLPA. So yeah. I watched... I actually watch all my content on YouTube these days, basically. Yeah. I either watch YouTube or... you know, the what do they call them? You know, the apps like the Netflix apps and, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. Actually, I probably watch more Netflix, I mean, not Netflix, YouTube.
Yeah, same. I'm massive.
Than YouTube. Anything, yeah. any more than the Stan apps or anything any these days anyway. So I watched a clip last night. Peter Volandis has come out and had his say, and the Fox Sports guys got into it on 360. Thought that was super interesting. Yeah. End up going into the comment section. But that's topic two. Topic one, Warriors boss Cameron George went on SEN New Zealand radio and had a bit of a sray at the NRL himself about the treatment of the Warriors, the sacrifices they made over the last couple of years, and how that he believes that the NRL hasn't rewarded them for that. We've got a couple of YouTube questions. We've also got, I'm going to get straight out of the way. Moving forward, we obviously love all the NRL questions, but I'm happy to drag these out to three, four, five if they're good enough. But like across anything, so if it's other sports, if it's you know, stuff that's happening around the world, I might be able to answer it, might have an opinion on it, I might not. I'll throw it to Mace. I'll ask Mace. He might want to talk about it. If not, we'll just
go straight to the keeper. I think they need to understand that we watch every single sport and every single show.
We love all our American sports.
That's all I fucking do. NFL Live, First Take, all that kind of stuff. So all that. Podcast P, that's what I've been into.
Oh, yeah, Grouse.
Paul George. Yeah, he's killing it.
If you don't know who we're talking about, Podcast P is Paul George. He plays for the Clippers now.
Yeah.
His guests are – you know what I like about his
– current players too.
He does. He's got current players, Josh Curran players, and there's a good range. So he's got like – he's had a couple of rookies on. He's obviously had Draymond on.
4 or 5 years.
He had like Mikal Bridges who's like –
he's about Mikal, 4th year.
Yeah, Mikal's like – yeah, he's been around for a while now, just got traded to the Nets.
Halliburton.
He
just got the bag, man. He's got 260 mil.
Yeah, those guys don't really get interviews out.
No.
Like, they're sort of like really good players, Bridges and Halliburton. But like normally it's they're trying to get Steph Curry, who's LeBron James. Like he does the barbershop or whatever, for instance. Pat Beverly's another one. He's a bit of a giggle every now and again. I love watching.
You're never going to get the big dogs. You're not going to get LeBron and that on.
Yeah, LeBron does his own. I mean, he does the barbershop.
Yeah. He's pretty.
And Steph doesn't really do it, does he?
No. He's done a couple lately. Well,
KD doesn't mind getting on a potty.
Yeah, he's good.
Who else are we at? Giannis, you don't really. He has his fun at the presses.
Embiid.
Embiid's the same.
But it's these guys that are just like been in the game for 4 or 5 years.
Good basketball IQ.
Yeah. They're guns, man.
Yeah.
And but I just like watching. I just like looking at other podcasts to see how it's set up. Obviously, we're new. We've only been here for 5 months, you know. And we do reach out and we get our own studio, what it looks like, how it looks, you know, optically and stuff like ideas, all that kind of stuff, you know. So,
again, that's what I look podcast at, man.
That's what I love. That's what I love how it looks.
Yeah, so do I. All right, Mace. So let's get into it. Been wearing the hat, obviously. This is a sample. So we're a couple of months away still. But if you want to go
right.
on.
Got to get it right.
If you want to go on and support us to help grow this podcast, to help grow this brand, make sure you go to levelsnetwork.com.au. Register your email for updates. We will give early access to the subscriber list, so be sure to subscribe. Over 100, which is cool, straight off the bat after our we talked about it on Monday, which was dropped on Tuesday. But yeah, this is collection one, mate. So we're really proud of this. We put a lot of effort into it. I know Lukey's been working behind the scenes pretty hard on it. Simple but effective, too, mate. Nice and clean. We're going to have a hat, shirt, and hoodie. So all that to come in the next couple of months. We're, you know, like I said, super proud and can't wait to get out to the punters because there's been a lot of people that have reached out over the last couple of months wanting to support us. And I guess we're sort of lucky in a way. We've been in a position due to our really strong partnerships with the TAB and BSC that we've had support from them that we haven't had to worry about or you know, rush.
We wanted to build the foundation.
We didn't want to rush the collection, did we?
We don't want to do like five shows and then drop some merch on people. We got to build a community. You got to get the trust, and you got to spit out good content.
Yeah.
And you know what we saw in the comments was like, when are you dropping merch? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. Lukey, when are we dropping merch?
Yeah, and the numbers are obviously grouse off the back of it. People are loving it. We get a lot of compliments. We get a few negative ones, but that comes with what we're doing. And like I said, I actually don't mind when you do that, because what does that do? It gets it keeps it ticking over. So even if someone comes on and is a lemon in our comments on YouTube,
you're going to get one out of 100.
Yeah, we got a couple. We get a couple. But what it does is it helps out the algorithm anyway. So even when you think you're ripping into us, you're doing us a favor.
Indirectly
doing us a favor. While you're there, though, if you are getting into us or you're not a fan, make sure you like and subscribe regardless. So the YouTube subscribers are at 13,641. We're chasing that 20K. That's the magic number. We will get there by the end of the year. I know that. But again, Apple, Spotify, reviews, leave comments. It all helps us out. And we're very appreciative of that, aren't we, Mace?
Yeah, it's good.
We've got that many,
honestly.
Pardon?
I can't believe we got that many.
Yeah, so quickly.
22 weeks, man.
Look, I was 22 weeks. I was quietly confident, obviously, when we made this move.
I was thinking 5 would be good.
Yeah. 10. Yeah, 10. 10 by the,
10 by the end of the year.
But, it's just, I guess it's good, just a reflection of people seem to be enjoying the content and fucking with us. So thank you to all the new ones that have jumped on. And again, actually, make sure you go Instagram. We've got a couple of really solid fans that share all our comments straight away. Shout out to a couple of people that always get in the comments even before we start, before the episode drops, Lukey. We'll flick the comments on straight away, and 45 minutes before, sometimes people are jumping in there. So thank you to them, and thank you to our partners who I mentioned at the start, Body Science. So you're no longer fasting, Mace?
Can you treat yourself to one?
They're actually the grouse. So why Mace is getting into it, I'll just give you a bit of a rundown. This is the low-carb Doc Cherry Berry Protein Bar, the world's first side-by-side dual-flavor protein bar. These 30-gram bars are the perfect snack.
Oh, fuck.
At under 110 calories per bar, packed with flavor and protein. Available in a 7-bar value pack. Your week's snacks are sorted. Love at first bite. Was it, Mace?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We think so. BSC protein bars are currently available in Woolworths, Chemist Warehouse, online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. And while you finish that off, Mace, don't worry about Russian.
All right.
We're going to get Russian. Don't worry about Russian. We're going to get together with the speed guru himself, Roger Fabri.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do a speed session with him, thanks to our partners, Body Science. Going to show you a bit of a routine about what we do, maybe the life of an athlete, the life of
he's going to run us through, just say if Kalen Ponga.
An off-season program, potentially?
Kalen Ponga, like all the athletes, if they had to come there and like Saab and all the quick guys, when they go there, this is a session that he'd give them. So it'd be fucking – I think – they'll see another side of Rog.
Yeah.
Sees his social media. He's a bit of a joker. He's a character. Very close friend of mine for the last 15 years. I'm very proud of what he's built there. But you'll see another side of him.
Yeah.
The
person that I've met face to face, and he talks about it all the time, he's a serious cat.
He is.
And he's got some really good knowledge. Obviously, when it comes to sprinting, he's the best in the business over here. But he's
I told him to put that hat on.
He's a bit of a giggle.
He's fucking hilarious. So I said, just be yourself,
but
don't fucking go too crazy.
All right? We're going to get after it.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to get after it. This is the Body Science range that they had for Indigenous round as well.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's get into the YouTube question. So this is more of a statement, and this has come from a few people with regards to, we talked about the games in Cairns, Perth, all those sorts of things. All the away games are due to the Women's World Cup being played at the major stadiums, lads. Regardless, I know it is stupid to play them in Perth, etc., but they're obviously trying to do the same state of origin, get some exposure to the game whilst we are being pushed out of the regular grounds. That is from Oscar Burr.
Thank you, Oscar Burr. I didn't know that.
Yeah, either did I. Yeah, so I thought I thought we'd chuck that in.
That's good. I was wondering why we're going fucking Perth. And I only figured out on Monday that the World Cup was here. Right when you were dropping me home, I said, FIFA. Yeah, the fucking World Cup's here, the Women's World Cup's here.
Gillaroos. Is it Gillaroos for the soccer? Yeah, it is. Gillaroos. Sam Kerr didn't play. And Oh, the Matildas. Who's the Gillaroos? Which ones are the
Gillaroos? That's the hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking
stuff. That's all right. It doesn't have to be super clean every time. Shout out to the girls. And I was,
Matildas, right?
Matildas. We were calling the game at SEN, so I had the Tigers game. So me, Joel Kane, and the great Spud Carroll were calling the game at SEN, and we had the TV with the West Tigers Dragons game. And respectfully to the boys, that was a tough carry trying to call that game, right?
It's very tough.
Then we had the British Open behind us in the golf. I was probably paying more attention to that. Sugar, Joel Kane, he had a little bit of a punt responsibly on the girls. So so it was 1-0, and it was just like trying to hang on in that game as well without Sam Kerr, which was massive as well. And the last one was the Ashes was on too. So the Ashes had just started. It was
calling in a Vegas bloody sports bar or something.
We were calling the game, and I reckon 60% of the time Sugar called the game, and then the other 40% I'm looking up at the golf. He's watching.
Did you have any bets on? Responsibly, of course.
No, I didn't. On the golf, I did. Yeah, I was on Tyrrell Hatton and Victor Hovland, but no good. At that point, I was still going all right, but then Harmon shot away. But yeah, shout out to the girls. We're up 1-0. I think they'll play again this week. I'll get the details a little bit later.
Thanks for that anyway, Oscar.
But thanks for that, Oscar Burr. And there also, like, there might have been like three or four people that wrote those in the comments as well.
Yeah, I had no clue.
All right, this one's a bit of a giggle, Mace. This is off the back of your post over the weekend. Actually, I'd guarantee majority of the people that are here at Levels are following you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Hey boys, love the show. Saw your post on Levels. I think maybe Lukey reposted on Levels.
Yeah.
Saw your post on Levels Instagram with Uncle Whittemore's comments regarding Hook's commentary being so bad, and I agree. Who, in your opinion, is the best and worst doing it right now? Miss Uncle Rabs, the proper OG.
Yeah, I miss Rabs.
Cookie, 44.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rabs too, by the way.
Yeah, Rabs. I love Rabs. He called most of my games, I think. Pretty much all of them. So his voice, my name, is very synonymous with the game. I was just like, it was just been an honest call, like with fucking with Hook.
It's a tough
fucking
listen.
Voice killed me.
I'm calling games and I'm not saying I'm the greatest.
I'm not sure if it's his fault. Like, did they just go, all right, we see a career for you in fucking Fox Sports commentary.
Yeah.
Here, have a crack, Griffin. Fuck no.
They do it quite often though, so they tend to get set coaches on there for.
Yeah, I get it. You can get it, but like, no, that's not.
No, let's talk at it. Like, I'm trying to figure out the reasoning behind it. Is it because they want them to get gigs again moving forward?
I'm not sure how it works, man. Yeah. But I'm just like, if you're Hook, you're probably still getting paid by St. George. You don't really need the money. I'm not sure if they want your expert opinion.
But yeah, it's obviously beneficial to Hook though. So if he
he's still relevant, right? He's still looking at the games, he's still studying games and all this kind of shit. And yeah, like, I can see how fucking some of the players are getting over that voice.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck.
He was doing it with
it put me asleep.
Yeah, it was average. It was average. He was doing it with Vossi and Mick Ennis, wasn't he?
No disrespect to Hook. I don't care about the coach. As fucking talent for Fox Sports. Step your game up. Surely there's more talent around than in Fox Sports.
Yeah, you'd like to think so.
Mick Ennis would have to double up.
Oh, well, let's get to it. Yeah, I like Mick Ennis.
I love Mick Ennis.
Yep. So
I used to love Braith as the main one. Now he's just doing fucking 360. I reckon he was killing. He was just finding his way through. And then he just sort of got put on a 360 job.
What about now? Channel 9, Fox? Who's your favourite?
Matt Thompson's good.
Yeah, do you? I'm not a fan of Matt Thompson, eh? I don't know what it is. Something rubs me the wrong way with that too.
I like Vossi.
Yeah, I love Vossi.
I think Vossi's passion. Vossi would be my favorite. Sometimes they just go on little, they talk about the game, and then because he's so passionate and he's a fan as well, he'll go off on a bit of a rant somewhere else. But his heart's in the right place. He's still one of the best commentators out there.
I don't know who I heard.
Dan Ginnane is awful as well.
Yeah, I know.
He should get off. I just can't copy him.
You don't rate Ginnane,
no.
Would he be your worst right now?
What do you say about fucking Hayes Perrin? He goes, you should take him out the back and shoot him. And then he just says sorry and there's no repercussions of that shit.
Yeah, that was rank.
That's fucking awful. Not that talented. Sick of the radio.
Who was my who would be my favorite? Yeah. Oh, you know what I like? I like that Saltzy, but he doesn't get many gigs. He only gets the Queensland ones on 9. His name's like Peter Saltzis they call him Salty.
Yeah.
They call him Salty. He's on with Cam Smith. I don't know. I watch more 9 than I do Fox.
Yeah, I don't have 9.
Yeah, don't you?
I do, but I couldn't be fucked changing the channels and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, so I
changing the channels, you know, all that kind of hard stuff.
Picking
that thing up, like, get it voice activated.
Yeah, because I find sometimes that KO lags, so I watch more Nine than anything, and I like Salty.
Joey, I like Joey.
Joey's grouse, but we know Joey, so that's biased. His voice is just
like, I've been hearing it since I was 14 or
15. Plus, we know like a few inside jokes.
I like Billy. I like Ken.
I like Bill.
The Channel 9.
I like Bill.
The Channel 9 dynamic that they got going there.
I've always liked Gus. People don't like Gus. I've always liked Gus.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't mind Warren Smith. You know, actually,
there's only guys, I'll tell you this, who I just don't like is Hook and Dan Ginnane.
Yeah.
Everyone else is great.
Yeah.
Those two blokes, get off fucking radio. Get back to radio, man.
I do radio with Jimmy Smith, who calls a good game.
Jimmy's good.
Jimmy calls a good game.
There's a lot of talent. I mean, there's so much talent out there. Like, get James Graham.
Oh, blocker.
I love the big cheese. I can't hate on the cheese. I don't give a fuck. You just got to have him on the sideline.
Yeah.
I don't care what he's saying. It's probably because we're a little bit older now and we understand the game so much. You've got to look at it through a 16-year-old's fucking eyes.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe they don't like fucking blocker.
Yeah, no, he's a tough carry for me too.
Yeah, blocker. Okay.
Yeah. But no, I understand. It's the same as anything, mate. Like, there is always, I guess this is what comes in with Hook, right?
It's nostalgic,
right? It's not necessarily sometimes what you know, it's who you know, right? So 100%. You can listen to Block because you know you've got a relationship. You might know a few of his mannerisms.
Yeah, like, I do.
Little quirks that make you laugh, right? Yeah. So it's sweet.
And I know what he's honestly thinking.
Yeah.
Because he's a dog, that guy. He's a dog and he wants to say it all. That's why he's a big fan of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Corey Parker. There's another one. Corey Parker.
Around there. Yeah. I'm saying that's the only two that I don't like, I just said. It was Hook and Ginnane.
Yeah.
But everyone else is pretty talented. But back to my point. There's got to be more fucking talent out there. Get James Graham on Fox. Pay him some more money. Yeah. He's great. Who else? Fucking Maroon.
Maroon's good.
Maroon fucking sounds better than him. I'm pretty sure you slipped him a couple of grand and said, can you call the game, Maroon?
Yeah.
Yes. Easily. Yeah, I'm not sure if they're doing it for the fucking insight of an NRL coach either, because he's not breaking it down good enough.
Mm. So I was trying to – who was it? Who was it? I seen it recently. I don't know if it was in the States. I watched it in the States or someone over here. Or I might have been just chatting with someone at the radio. And the main, like, commentator, so just say, like, the guys that are controlling it, whether it's the on radio, the Maroons or the Jimmy Smiths or the Matt Thompsons or Dan Ginnane's, they should never critique.
Yeah. That's what gets me.
Rabs, you should never critique. You should never always call it, and then your expert, or the ex-player, if he wants to critique, like if it's like, you know, Rabs used to just call the game, you know, Willie Mason down the middle, passionate. You know, all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, if Fat would come in or Sterlo would come, what about that missed tackle from fucking, I don't know, who
the call team back in the 90s was fucking hilarious. Sideshow.
Best ever.
But as I said, like when you're that dude, all you do is call the game. Don't go off little tangents. Don't fucking personally attack the player. Just go and call the game. And I've heard these guys, like, I mean, Hook's voice is just like annoying, right? But it's not his fault.
Well,
but Ginnane, he's gone into like, and he's critiqued players. Like, just shut up. Just stay in your lane.
All right. Speaking of staying in their lanes, the Warriors are not happy they've been asked to stay in their lane for this long. Mm. So, topic one is with regards to Cameron George, who, like I said, went on SEN New Zealand radio. It was a pretty decent chat, but I've taken out a few of the main parts for you here, Mace.
Yep.
For all the Warriors had given up to help keep the competition running, what the club has so far received in return now that the NRL is operating as normal left George incensed. Well, there's nothing. It's disappointing, George said on SEN radio. The game had the opportunity to really enforce upon a lot of clubs because the World Cup is currently on. A lot of stadiums are shut. Which I obviously chucking in that YouTube question.
Thank you, Oscar Burr.
Oscar Burr. But that's like straight off the bat, you're taking him, and one of his examples were around Origin, right?
Yeah.
Adelaide, taking Origin to Adelaide, going to Perth now. Mm. Queensland very strong, obviously. But Perth, like, why weren't there more games taken in New Zealand during this time while the World Cup's on? Yeah. Which I think is a great point. We tried every angle as a club to deal directly with clubs and so on, and the only thing that the NRL came up with for New Zealand was the All-Stars game, and it should be here. Like, don't you think you're some sort of hero because you've brought a New Zealand culture team back to New Zealand to play in their country? So that was the first time they'd ever taken the Indigenous All-Stars game back to New Zealand.
Wow.
And that was the, I guess, that's how they're trying to pitch it as like a thank you. Like realistically, that should be back and forth every year.
100%.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, like 100%. I'm just going to see if you're going to read the rest. Because
I said there's one little bit more bit to it. It's like you're not going to give New South Wales a state of origin. It should be here. Hugely disappointed that we didn't get more.
Yeah.
You've only got what's going on now. You've only got to look at what the environment and what this country does for the game of rugby league, George said. Trying day and night to get more and more content here. Sometimes it just falls on deaf ears. I've spoken all about Anzac Day, but Melbourne Storm seem to think that they own Anzac Day. Again, another great point. Jeez. Why doesn't that – it's always in Melbourne. Why don't they get that in New Zealand every now and again?
Wow.
I think it's appalling we don't have a game in New Zealand on Anzac Day.
I think it's appalling every single thing that he brought up is spot on.
It is,
like, mate. Why are they taking games to Perth?
At least
why are they playing like that Mount Smart? They can play him like a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday game.
I don't mind them taking the game to Perth to grow the game, but it should just say, for instance, it's gone maybe Perth.
This is not to grow the game. This is because of
cash.
Yes,
money.
This is.
Yeah, but I'd imagine New Zealand. Can
yeah, but I'm
money.
Saying like because of the World Cup, we're moving games over, right? Yeah. So this should have been the first place we're going to move them. Thank you for fucking saving the game, New Zealand Warriors.
Yeah. Here's a few more games.
Here's a phone call. We want to put, we can negotiate a number.
Yeah.
Or keep all the revenue. Thanks for fucking saving our game for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, don't even worry about it. You just have all the profit because you lost so much for 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
Nothing was like that. Nothing said, obviously.
Yeah, they didn't make any profit on home games. They wouldn't have. I don't know that exactly. I'd have to find out the details around what it was like with Redcliffe and if they shared any of the home revenue with them, but you wouldn't have think they'd make nowhere near as much as they're making right now this year. Yeah. Now that the game's flourishing, so the other big one, and I agree with him.
I agree with him. Everything.
Origin. Why not Origin? If you're going to go a neutral venue, and you pick an Adelaide because obviously Adelaide paid a lot of money, they're trying to get their tourism going. Yeah. We have an actual NRL team in New Zealand, Auckland. We don't have one in Adelaide. I just don't understand why. And I don't mind it going to Adelaide as well if they want to grow the game for that reason. But if why
never
would it
gonna
go,
happen?
Yeah, why would it go Adelaide, Perth, New Zealand, for instance, and Melbourne or whatever? Mm. I actually would even scrap personally Adelaide and Perth. Don't have an NRL team in there, it's like I don't know what the point is really. I'd go Melbourne every second year, and then every now and again I'd chuck in New Zealand maybe every fourth year for an Origin.
I agree. I just think because Origin is such a spectacle now. It's an event, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't really. They've proven themselves that they don't really care where it's at. We're going to take it to Perth. You take it to Perth. You take it to Adelaide. It's been in Townsville. It's been in Melbourne several times. Like, we've got a club over there, and it's the second biggest sport, second or third biggest sport in New Zealand.
50,000 Eden Park.
Oh, they'd pack it out.
Record attendance, 61,000. Oh, that'd profit.
Only because a simple reason. Like, I know there's no fucking, like, people from Perth and Adelaide and all the hardcore, diehard rugby league supporters and players. I know there are teams there. I get it. But they don't fit any of the quotas that we want for a team, right? That's why Redcliffe is in.
Mm. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why Redcliffe, the Dolphins are here. That doesn't tick all the boxes, because if they did, they would be a Perth fucking Reds.
Yeah.
It
would have been sustainable enough to maintain, stay in the competition.
And a few Kiwi guys, I think I said this on a tweet or something like that. They're like, we'd rather test or something like that. New Zealand versus Australia test, Anzac test, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. I said, I'm just trying to grow the game. Because Origin is a spectacle, right?
Okay, that's interesting. So a few Kiwis replied to you.
Yeah, they said, fuck that.
Did you toss up Origin they went, no, we want Anzac test?
Yeah, rather run Australia versus New Zealand.
Okay, I like
more
that.
More tests in New Zealand. Yeah. Build the New Zealand Kiwis, not Origin. So I get it from the New Zealand side as well. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm only speaking from an Origins type sort of thing.
Yeah.
Why keep giving it to Perth and Adelaide when we can just leave it and give it to like New Zealand? They can still grow more players. The amount of money that will generate for New Zealand and Auckland. Everyone's been hit by COVID in different ways. I think everyone can sort of eat.
What would be more exciting to you as a player? Early 2000s, mid 2005, playing a neutral ground out of Perth, Adelaide, or New Zealand.
I'd rather go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because you know that they genuinely love the game.
Yeah.
Where you go to Perth, there's 40,000 of us flying over. It's a trip. It's a holiday. Yeah. It's a business trip for a lot of these guys.
We met a lot of people from New South Wales and Queensland,
like especially Adelaide, you know. Yeah. Like it's probably about 10,000
people. You know
what
we met heaps of Kiwis at Origin too. Yeah, so there were Kiwis. They were actual Kiwis travelling from New Zealand to come watch it in Adelaide and Brizzy. Yeah.
It's hard when you can't please everyone. People let us know in the comments, but it's just like just a fucking few ideas.
We've got a shitload of Warriors fans at the moment, so I'm sure they're going
to
agree. Yeah.
But then you get to hardcore union guys going, fucking stay there.
Leave it in
Australia.
No, I reckon.
Because I just think it's grown past Australia.
Yeah.
Well, you think about taking it to Vegas in like 5 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
We're going to Vegas for fucking round zero next year.
100%.
All right. The second topic, I talked about it just before. So I was watching a clip from 360 and they were talking about obviously they had Peter Vlandy's comments. He's back too,
just
by the way.
Looking all tanned up from his Mediterranean trip.
Where was he? Do you know where he was?
I'd say Greece somewhere.
Do you know whereabouts in Europe specifically?
Yeah, specific Lukey. I dare say he's just been chilling out, just no stress.
Guess. Like if you,
I'm thinking in the Greek island somewhere. Definitely not Mykonos. It'd be one of his family places.
Yeah,
you know where he can just chill out.
He's Greek, right? Yeah, Philandis is Greek,
Cypriot or something like that.
Is he? I'm going to throw one a little left there. I reckon Turkey.
Reckon?
Yeah, I reckon Greece is too busy for the.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to mainstream stuff. Yeah, he's not putting the shit on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. He ain't in Mykonos. He ain't.
He ain't a Scorpios. Yeah. Maybe he's a Scorpios.
Have you been to Scorpios?
Yeah, I've been.
Fucking best ever.
Yeah, man.
How good? How many? But yeah, it feels like everyone's in Europe at the moment.
Oh, mate, just get on Instagram. Look. Fuck, you'll never know if I'm in Europe ever.
Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh, 360. So he came on. A couple of things that he stated, Mace, was they're trying to beat down that narrative and double down on it, and the NRL 360 gang were getting behind it. Big thing that they're trying to push is ask the players. They don't know what it's all about. What's the other one? Can you remember, like when we were cruising over?
Well, on the 360,
I'm having a blank.
It was mainly about would players know about the 100 things that they're asked for?
The fans. That's the big thing. The fans.
Fans get affected. The media's getting affected. Yeah, that's about it, really.
Yeah. So when I was watching, I was like. Look, they're bringing up some points, and I understand it as well.
The women's game's getting affected.
Oh, the women's, that was a big one as well.
There was a few things. Like, they were scrambling a little bit, I thought. Mm. You can tell who butters their bread.
Well, in a way, I understand it too. Like, even though I don't agree with it, I'm like, you know, we know Braith and
Gordy. This is their side. Like, they're getting, that's why there's fucking papers in front of them. Say this. This is the fucking thing we're driving. This is the narrative, guys. Yeah, you got to say it. So you got to expect that from 360 because they're Fox Sports, right? Channel 9, like, they're going to say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so when they mention the fan stuff, and look, I this has got to the point now. I think I've got a bit fatigued with this, and I think I assume that most of the fans had been getting fatigued with it as well.
Like being media, just say part of the media, ex-player, former player, whatever, and even if I was a current player, I'd be tired. Because I'm fucking tired of listening to this shit already.
Yeah, so am I.
And it's only been 3 weeks and I don't even really fully invest in it, right?
Oh, I'm nowhere near invested.
But I mean, like, imagine what Clint Newton's feeling like.
Yeah.
He's fucking at the front line.
Yeah.
Fucking Newton's a great friend of mine. I'm just like, fuck, he's aged about 20 years.
Yeah, he's like a
coach. He's taking all the hits, man. He's taking all the hits.
Coach that's back-to-back spoons. Steve Kearney aged so hard at Parramatta Eels with this, man.
Yeah, back-to-back spoons.
But I'll get to. So I thought it was interesting. So then I started to read. You can go on as well. You can find these on YouTube if you go on to the Fox League and the NRL 360 episode where they're talking about Vlandis. And I was like, I wonder how the fans are feeling now. Are they getting fed up with it? I got the top five. So the first one, and these are like the top five. So unless you press newest or relatable, it gives you the most liked comments. The top one was, personally, I'm loving the fact the players are just concentrating on playing the game on game day. No silly or cringe interviews by these media personalities, while the bloke who has just slogged it out for 40, 80 minutes is trying to catch a breath on the way to the sheds or warming up for the game. These media guys, including the former player hosts, are so biased. absolutely astonishing. 65 likes. I actually agree with it. I haven't missed anything as well with regards to the boys being interviewed before and after games.
I honestly thought they were going to do it for a week. The last 2 weeks, I just thought it's just been like a quiet media week.
I've actually been enjoying it. I just watch the footy now. You don't see any of the like cliche bullshit.
Because you're gonna, cause all they do is just clickbait. They interview these poor young kids. They say the wrong thing and then they're on the fucking back page anyway, right?
Yeah, true.
So kids are just going, fuck, I don't want to speak to the media anyway. So I most think these young kids are going, thank fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to do it. You're just sending your senior players out for Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then everyone just sort of backs off and you can concentrate on the game, you can do with that and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's been a blessing in disguise for some of the players because the media stuff really affects some of these players.
Correct.
Because they read the comments, they do these interviews, they're petrified about doing interviews because they're not trained in the right way. You know what I mean? Like, so they're going, fuck.
Especially
like,
if you had two losses in a row.
Yeah, man. Like you got to deal with this kind of stuff. The captains and, you know, because they get to handpick who they want. Mm. There's no more looking after like a Matt Utai like we did for 3 or 4 years or even a Sonny Bill. They're going to get at you. You can't protect these kids now.
Yeah, Fui pretended he didn't speak English.
Yeah. And I like the fact you say with 360, I think. And if you read all the fans and everything like that, they're seeing through all the shit, right? Yeah.
Well, let me read out some more.
This is not like the 90s and 2000s where they control the whole narrative.
Yeah.
And nothing but because this play, there's the new media like our media who can see through all that shit. And I think the actual fan can see it.
Well, that's what I assumed, right? So this is why I'm surprised by a lot of these. So let's get to the next one. I'm the average fan. I don't see the players as greedy and don't agree with the angle the media has taken. It hasn't backfired and I support the RLPA. Yeah. Journos are out of touch, 39 likes. Next one. Pissed me off watching this live on them, how biased they are. Most of the fans stand with the players. Mm. It's the players that chose to go with the media blackout, not Clint or the RLPA. 44 likes. So I would assume, because we've come out and said before, two of my good mates are part of the RLPA, Jamie Bureau, Tommy Simons, ex-teammate of yours as well, Mace.
Yep.
I'd assume you would find more of these comments on like our posts, like our clips, not 360. No. I'd assume there'd be more the other way. Mm. That's what I thought when I was reading them. The fourth one was, oh my God, this is one of the This is one of the hardest watches ever. Such biased media. Used to love Gordy's passion opinions. Some I disagreed with, but this job has changed him. Some of the most one-sided uniform journalism I've ever seen. When Clint spoke to the radio, no one listened. Asked unrelated questions to bully him, and he handled himself perfectly. Have you ever thought that the NRL are to blame for not getting the deal done? And that's massive as well. 42 likes. Last one, love reading the comments. Great to see the fan base seen straight through the media bias up the RLPA.
Yeah.
So I think the fans are on board with the players, which seems to be the narrative the most that they are.
When we first were looking at that
360 you're trying to push.
Like it's Riccio and who's the other bloke?
Crawley?
Yeah. Like all they kept talking about was money and comparing to like a police officer and a plumber and a fire fucking fighter. Like that'd be their average wages. Like this is all relative, man, and all subjective. Like do they get are they playing in on a $1 billion like fucking network? You know what I mean? Like how dumb is that with those comments? I was like, fucking hell, like people aren't that dumb enough to think the game's not worth this and the players are getting X. Do you know what I mean? Like it's got to be equal. That's all the players want.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't stop bringing up that old shit that in the 2000s,
average salary.
In 2003, when we fucking stroked the Dally M's, struck the Dally M's, you could use it then because you controlled the whole fucking narrative, guys. Yeah, yeah. 20 years later, you can see through that shit. Don't use, oh, the plumber can, he's a hard working tradie. Mm. The tradies fucking love the game.
Yeah.
And they understand you're in the game for like, what, five, six, like, I don't know what the average games are, like 15 games? You know what I mean?
Gone up to about 30, but it's
you know,
like
it's hardly anything. You got to understand. All they look at is the top guys. They keep mentioning the guys that are on the $1 million. That's 10 players. Mm. Not even that.
Yeah, the average.
The average wage has gone up. I get it, and so it should because the game is going up.
The game is thriving.
That's what the players should thrive. That's fucking full stop.
That's what never gets mentioned in that argument, which is fairly weak. But again, like I said.
He's going on the 80s when they had jobs and yeah, we fucking get it.
Yeah.
We're standing on the shoulders of those guys. Mm. The Ray Prices, the Peter Sterlings, the guys through the fucking 90s, the Super League battle, all that kind of stuff. We do not forget about that as players. Mm. We love that. That's why we play the game. It's not the 80s, it's not the 90s, it's not the 2000s or 2010s. 2020s. So those arguments are so fucking ratchet.
Yeah. It was actually good to see Josh Reynolds because Gordy put him under the flame too a little bit later on. And he held his ground. He was good. Josh Reynolds was good. Look, at the end of the day, the big thing that they're trying to, I think they're trying to hammer down now, and this is what Vlandis is, and who else? Riccio said he was. He goes, I chat to players that I don't know what they're talking about. I guarantee when people go through these sorts of
big strikes
and 90
big union guys, 10,000 people striking,
95% of the people that are working or underneath the, you know, an RLPA or an association or whatever, they don't know what you put your trust into the people that are above it. Like even when I was doing the stuff back in 2013 and trying to involve myself as much as I could, I just didn't have the intellectual capability to understand it all myself, right? Yeah. But I think you got to be show enough humility or be humble enough to go, all right, I don't know exactly what all this is about, but
I'm all in for this.
But I'm going to trust Nudo. I feel like he's got my best wishes, or best intentions, sorry, with Tommy Simons, Jamie Bure, who, again, have been well educated enough and understand more of the details.
That's exactly right, right? You go into a strike, there's 5,000 people strike, or 500. I don't expect 500 people to know. I expect about 50 of them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And they're all the older guys. All the younger guys don't give a shit. In 2003, I don't even fucking know. All I knew was that we're not going to Dally M's. Fuck it. Who cares? So what? And I was a senior player. I was playing for Australia and New South Wales and playing with the Bulldogs. It's like, thank fuck.
2003.
Because that night sucks.
You probably would have got back row of the year. 2003?
Ogre reckons he would have. Ogre's filthy on 2003 because he would have got fucking front row of the year.
Were you front row or back row?
I was playing both. I was in the middle. But like Craig Gower, he hasn't got a Dally M for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Do you reckon
players don't give a shit, man. Yeah, they're going to, for the greater cause of the game, right? These guys have got to dig their heels in. Nudo's got to take all these shots. There's no point going through now and then capitulating. The difference is when they keep saying 20 months is taking ages, because all the other guys just fucking capitulated and melted and just went, oh, fuck it.
Yeah,
all right, absolutely. I'll settle for that. Where Nudo's like, no, this is what we want and we're not fucking budging, right? So that's the difference, why it's taken so long. Because you've got a guy there who's stubborn as shit, who knows his fucking grounds and wants what he wants, and he's got full player support. So that's why it's taken 20 months. He's not backing down, where the other guys just go, here, thanks.
They get to a point and go,
here,
boys.
Here, have a little fucking handout. No, the players aren't selling for that, and neither is RLPA.
Well, we are filming this on Wednesday night. This will drop Thursday as per. Could be some big news popping out tomorrow.
Aren't they hiding the old Gavin? I hear that.
I think there's
the old Gavin Badger.
It could be Casey for the women as well.
Yeah, and Casey. Casey for and the Gavin. Older. Casey and Gavin. Yeah.
We've got some information. That'll probably be dropping tomorrow. So by the time
if you don't know this episode drops,
the badge, they're going to cover up the NRL badge. Yeah. I think that's the next step. That'll be big.
Right. That's...
What's your take on PVL with all this stuff? Because this is, like you said, I agree with you. 20 months, it's taken 20 months because a lot of people would have caved by now, especially with Vlandis, because
he's a fucking OG.
He's OG dub.
Yeah, look at his, like, I love the photos that they have when he's little thumbnail. Like,
yeah.
Just got back from Greece.
Is he a good fella?
He is a good guy. Yeah. He is, but he's a hard man to, he'd be a hard man to bargain with.
He'd be a fucking oath.
You know what I mean? Like, so what do they want now? So what they want now is to put an independent person in. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, they want to get rid of Clint Newton.
Get it done right now.
They want to get rid of Clint Newton. That's the big thing. I reckon that's the big thing that he wants to get done, because guess what?
Vlandis, no Nudo, just who else?
No. So they want to get, what they're doing now is going, Abdo and Clint Newton aren't getting along. So they want to remove both of them, right?
Right.
But there's not another powerhouse on the RLPA like a fucking another Nudo that's ready to go. Because then PVL will come in and he's just going to dominate. Respectfully, love Jamie. He's
going to dominate Jamie Bure and Tommy Simons.
I love Jamie and Tommy. But there's levels bait. That. So obviously Newton doesn't want to remove himself from negotiations. And I don't think the players do either, because
you want him there.
It takes a certain...
Got some balls, man.
You're going to be a different sort of cat, like a dog. To go fucking PVL is happy to remove Abdo. It's like removing if you're playing chess.
Yeah, giving you king.
Yeah, giving you king up. Give you king
or your
up
knight. More. Give you knight up.
Yeah, we're not really good at chess pieces, but as you can tell,
whatever the second best piece is.
Yeah,
up then. Eh? Give you knight up. Throw him to the fucking wolves.
Yeah, it'd be like giving your queen up then. Yeah, Vlandis sitting there, he's still got some troops sitting in behind him.
Cavalry.
When you take the two queens out, then it comes down to fucking.
It'd be interesting, man. I'd love to be in that meeting.
Yeah, so would I.
Just like to hear him like go back and forth.
I want
to be the mediator. Yeah. I should be the mediator.
Yeah, I want to be the mediator, but like not have any input.
Yeah, don't decide anything.
Just like, yeah, it sounds right. Right. Yeah, you're right, PVL, you're right.
Sort it out, see you later. Give him the 10 grand.
All right, let's get into previewing round 22. These odds are accurate as of the 26th of July at 5 p.m. from our friends, our partners at the Tab. Brisbane are $1.40 favourites, Mace, against the Sydney Roosters in the first game on Thursday night at the Gabba. Ooh. Xavier Wilson will replace Brendan Piakura in the run-on side after the 21-year-old failed to recover from the virus, Wilson will start in the middle with back rower Paddy Carrigan, who goes to the edge like he did last week.
What do you think of that?
And I'm not a big fan.
He needs to attack both sides of the ruck.
Yeah, I like Paddy
Payne Haas needs him as well.
I like Paddy through
the middle. He needs to run behind Payne Haas.
Yeah. Dean Mariner comes onto the wing for the suspended Jesse Arthurs, while Martin Tupou has also been suspended. So you've got the likes of Palacia, Jensen, and Heverington on the bench as well.
They could end this Roosters season right here, no?
Well, big ins for the Roosters as well. Victor Radley comes back. He will need to pass a fitness test though. Brendan Smith is named to start after replacing Jake Turpin in the run-on side last week. But apart from that, Mace, have the Roosters done enough last week against the Titans to take on the wrath of the high-flying Broncos?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's a tough one,
actually, this is like I want the Roosters to win just to keep them. They got that little
a window,
a little bit of belief, right?
There's
and
a window.
That's all it takes. Like last week's game could really propel them on a little bit of a run. It's going to end pretty soon. I'm going to back the Roosters here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just think they can go up there and just cause an upset because they've got a pretty good record there.
Yeah, they could. Gabba.
Not at the Gabba. Just in Queensland. Yeah, I don't think they really care. They've got against Brisbane. They play.
It's a very good lineup.
Yeah.
It's a very good lineup.
If everyone, like Teddy and that, were killing it last week. Brandon Smith, I think he just needs that one confidence game.
Everyone Lindsay, played well.
J-Dub against fucking Payne Haas.
Everyone played well. That?
Yeah. You watch J-Dub go after Payne Haas.
Well, what about the other two? Fucking Jersey Flegler and Lindsay Collins.
And just going at it.
That's
going
to be
fucking. Is Jersey back?
Yeah, Jersey's Jeez. Back. Okay, first back.
Full deck of cards.
All Apart but Jordan Rickey, Martin Tupou and Corey Oates.
So just, yeah, okay. Wow, this would be good. But I just want to see, Payne Haas go back at him. You know what I mean? Because J-Dub's going to go up. Because Payne Haas really stays focused and just does his job, I've never seen him like pissed off, right?
Mm.
And I think like Hargreaves wants to piss him off. And I'm not sure if he wants to do that.
Yeah. I'm opposite. Right. I think Hargreaves leaves Payne Haas alone and doesn't want to get fire him up.
I can't remember
Hargreaves.
This is not in this man's DNA.
I can't remember Hargreaves ever putting it on Payne Haas.
I don't reckon. I don't think they've properly gone at it.
Nah.
This is the fucking perfect arena right now, Thursday
Big
night.
Game.
Everything's on your back. I love it.
I'm on Broncos. And I actually like
the Jersey Flegler doesn't mind it either. He's got
it.
Some shit in
him. Him and Lindsay Collins loves it as well.
Yeah. So it'll be a good battle. And then I'll just put Victor Radley in the middle. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, he'll play. He'll play in the middle. Yeah, I think he'll play.
Yeah, but like.
Because the Butcher brothers went well last week. So Brown's been pushed back to the bench.
Okay, good.
Yep. Moving on to the first game of Friday night.
Sorry, who you got?
I'm on Broncos, and I think they do it.
Yeah.
I think they cover as well. Moving on to Friday night, 6 p.m., the West Tigers are $8 underdogs at home because Trell Mitt is back, baby. South Sydney are $1.08, and the line is plus 21.5. With our friends, our partners at the Tab. So, big ins for both teams. Playmaker Luke Brooks is expected to return from the hamstring injury with also Charlie Staines and David Nofaluma also set to return to the side. Sean Blore will be assessed after missing last week. He pulled out just before the game with a quad injury. After a false start last week, it's all but ready for a Latrell Mitchell return. Yeah. And therefore, Blake Taff remains in the reserves.
Therefore, South win by a heap.
By a heap?
Yeah.
By a heap, yeah.
Tigers just going, just put it to bed, really. Of course, they're going to go out and compete. You expect that. It's an NRL-level team. So, I mean, South will just be – that was all they were missing last week. Just you know a little bit of magic.
You know what was good for him, actually, when I was calling the game? Because Fanoa Pole had been completely removed from the game. He was 18th man. Mm. When Bloor got injured in warm-up, he come in and started and actually played pretty well. Now he's been able to maintain his spot in the starting lineup. Because I like Pole.
I like him, man. Yeah. So I thought, that's what, you can't fuck around with young kids like that in their confidence. You just got to play him, just week in, week out.
I think historically – for whatever reason, Tigers have always kept it close against the Rabbitohs, even when you think that they're supposed to have smashed them.
What's the line?
I think the line's 21.5 at the tab.
I'd take that.
It's a lot of points. South. It's a lot of points. Oh, you're taking minus. You like minus?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. I think they need to get.
That's due to like just put a heap of points on.
They're about to go on a run.
Yeah, this is where they start the run. They have to.
I'm with you. All right, this is a good one as well, and this one could fuck up my prediction straight away with a couple of players missing through injury, and then also I believe Justin Olam was – they're saying that Justin Olam was dropped. That can't be right.
No.
The suspension of Tarek Sims is offset by the return of Elissi Katoa, big in, from an eye injury, whose inclusions comes at a helpful time with Remus Smith, Juzzy Olam, and Nelson Asofa-Solomona. All out. Eels, however, have Andrew Davey, who moves into the starting side to replace Sean Lane. And then Joey Lussick will come straight back into the starting onto the bench after only arriving in the country, I guess, probably this week.
What about his Instagram thing that Rosie put up?
That's the first time you've seen that?
That's the first time I've seen it when he was teaching people how to box. Fucking just put him in just for that.
Yeah.
What's up with...
Let me just get to the odds with our friends at the tab, please, Mace. Melbourne are $1.47 at home. Sorry, it's at Marvel Stadium versus Parramatta, who are $2.70. And I tell you what, I sort of alluded to it. This could throw out my predictions because
if they were full strength,
I actually don't mind Parramatta at this, and the +7.5 is very, very tempting. Very tempting. In fact, I'm on that. Because they've always performed well against Melbourne Storm as well. And then with those outs, those are big outs. Oh, it's +6.5 now with our friends at the tab, $1.85.
Yeah, I just don't
I think Parramatta can get them and it's going to fuck my prediction straight off the Melbourne. Bat.
Easily, I reckon.
Easily?
Yeah. I just think just down there, they don't really go back-to-back. They hate that.
So Marion Sever and young Tonomapei coming in the centres, solid. They get big it's the big nasty. He's the one
What happened to him?
He's done his finger. So him, he's...
Oh, he done his little pinky like I did. I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Underrated injury, big boy.
Yeah, I'm going to go para.
You got that feeling again?
Yeah, I got that feeling.
All right.
I got that feeling.
I'm Melbourne.
Parramatta fans were off me too in the comments, but now I've had to jump back on. All right, moving on to Super Saturday, the first game. The Canberra Raiders are at home to the Newcastle Knights. This would be a fucking cracker, actually.
Yeah,
Canberra $1.67 favourites against the Newcastle Knights, who are $2.20 underdogs. And I think I know where you're going straight away, mate. So I can see by the way you're reading that. +3.5 about the Knights if you like the line. No changes expected. Corey Horsburgh was charged with contrary conduct, so he's sweet. Daniel Saifidi will miss the game due to a thigh strain and is replaced by his brother Jacob, the only who will go on the starting lineup. And then who comes onto the bench? Brody Jones. We both on the Knights?
I like the Knights, man. They're just on a bit of a run.
Who did I pick for I think I picked Canberra for the predictor, but...
I think Canberra's going to be hard to beat, but they could they could nearly... If Newcastle get beat tonight, it'll make it hard, won't it? I mean, not tonight. If Newcastle get beat on Friday night...
Oh, this is Saturday.
Saturday night.
3 p.m. afternoon.
I thought we were still in the Friday night game. Yeah, no way, that was Melbourne.
So did I until I looked down. I just seen Saturday.
Couldn't have been more further than a Friday night. Yeah. Saturday arvo in Canberra. Yeah.
You thought it was at the Gabba again, eh?
I was at the Gabba. Got a good record there. Mad record, Newcastle. my heart is Newcastle, but my head is going Canberra.
Look, I'm going to stick to my guns on this one just because Canberra down in Canberra and
they're hard to beat.
They're dogs. Papali'i, Tarpanet, Hudson Young, Whitehead, Horsburgh, that's still a good pack.
All right, I'm going Canberra.
Oh, you've talked into it. All right, sweet. Yeah.
That pack, man. That pack, I reckon they could.
Pac-Man
Jones. They're going for a top four. All right.
Yeah.
Newcastle's trying to get into the eight.
Yeah.
There's a different mentality.
They're both going to be super desperate though good. when you mention it that way.
That's what I was thinking. Like Newcastle may be a little bit more desperate right now because I'm thinking if they don't win now, they're not making the eight. Therefore, our prediction of Newcastle making the eight.
Well, it didn't because I had Newcastle losing this game. I had Newcastle losing this game but still making it because they've got some very winnable games outside of this one.
No, I'm going Canberra.
All right, moving on to Saturday night, 5:30, St. George Illawarra game. The second game, St. George Illawarra Dragons versus the Manly Seagulls, Chez's 300th, and they are favourites at $1.48, even though, shit, it's away at Wynn Stadium, which, no, it's all right, mate, you're right. $2.65 about the Dragons. The line is +6.5 though, Mace. With any changes for the Dragons, Jacob Little, yep. Jack Bird has been named on the bench with Dan Russell in the back row. They could swap on game day, although that was the lineup last week. So I think they'll say that Dan Russell, he's been all right. As for Manly, they've got a couple of big outs. Taniela Pisacka and Josh Alawai are both out. Pisacka's was
season,
ugly
one. Season ending
I think,
injuries,
I think it
Pisacka's
is.
Pisacka's like grade three.
I think it is, yeah.
His medial. That's fucked.
And I'll tell you what, Matty Lodge was really good for fucking Manly in his first game.
He'll end the year there. He'll end it pretty good.
T-Sips, yeah. Yeah, he will. T-Sips, I like him actually. Surprised he hasn't been getting a run. He goes to the starting lineup. And
so they don't really miss that much, you know what I mean? Like, just a bit of size, a little bit of experience, but they're pretty experienced blokes coming back in.
Pretty similar bench as well. Ethan Bullimore comes on the bench; he goes right as well. So
surely, if Manly just play half as good as they did against Cronulla
in the first half. So, Lukey just said Chez is the first player to play 300 games that has played the same position the entire time. Shout out to Roasty, NRL Roast. That's a crazy stat.
300 games.
How many 300 gamers are there, Lukey? Can you look for that too while we're going through it now? Exclusive list to play the one position.
18 or something like that. He's,
Chez had never played. He's never played 14. He's never come off the bench. Would interchange, do you think? There's 48 300 gamers. Do you think an interchange player plays into that as well, do you think, Lukey?
Did he play any interchange?
I don't think he's played any interchange.
Yeah. I think he started and he's just been
starting
ever since.
Seven his entire fucking career. That's crazy.
Well done,
Chez.
Yeah, I think Manly are too good here.
Yeah, so do I.
Even though these games don't always go for it.
Yeah, you know, teams don't mind playing spoilers on this, do they?
Yeah, teams.
Yeah, we haven't won a game.
All records are made to be broken as well.
100%. 300 games, what an occasion. Shout out to my boy, DCE.
It'll show how much he means to the club and the players. If they tear in, like massively, like I think they will.
But in saying that, like look how much the boys wanted to do it for Croaks and it just become too much.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I'm always wary of these games.
Yeah.
The best team to play for when it's a game, at least like something to remember, is Melbourne. They never lose.
Yeah. I played in Heinie's 300 and we lost that on the Hooter against Penrith.
Yeah, they suck.
All right. Speaking of Penrith, Penrith are at home to Cronulla. $1.12 they are with our friends, our partners at the tab. Cronulla is $6.20 underdogs. That is a clear indication of how far Cronulla have dropped off in the last couple of games in particular. Line 16.5. Luke Garner is amongst the reserves after a strong performance off the bench. Could be a late inclusion for Zach Hosking. The Panthers are otherwise set to feature as per program with Matt Eisenhuth in for Spencer Lemieux, who misses out. Captain Wade Graham is back from a toe injury and starts in the second row in place of Jesse Calhoun, while Cam McInnes shifts to lock in place of Dale Finucane biceps. Sifatolakai returns to the bench after being a late withdrawal last week and is expected to play with Connor Tracy at centres. Mace.
Jesus, disrespectful, isn't it?
It's about right.
Yeah. Oh, 620. They're not that bad. That's a massive. I mean,
that's a lot of. It's not a bad
really
price to just have.
Disrespectful, man.
It's
Cronulla's
not a bad
right.
price to just have something on responsibly. Yeah. Like you have a little 20 on that for $120.
Yeah.
124 of the best.
Well, take the line easy.
Yeah, the line.
Jesus.
Well, are they coming for the line? Yeah, they are. Yeah, people were pumping the line +16.5 at $1.85.
I only just figured out what the line was a couple of weeks ago, guys.
Oh, so. Yeah, you figured it out now?
Yeah, remember you told me? I was like, what's it fucking mean?
Someone wrote in the comments as well, and I was going to put it in. something about me, Horro, why don't you let Mace speak at the end when it comes to like punting? He looks like he really wants to say something. I'm like, first of all, no, he can't. And second of all, he actually doesn't punt at all. So
I'm just, because you must see me just reading it.
Yeah. He goes, he looks like he wants to say something. He actually doesn't. He lets me roll that stuff. Panthers at home. Yeah, I'm on Panthers. I think they cover as well.
Yeah. Scary as that sounds against Cronulla. If we said this 10 weeks ago.
4 weeks ago.
Fucking hell. 4 weeks ago. It'd be nearly a toss of a coin, you'd be thinking.
Yeah, but they're down on confidence at the moment. I think they'll keep it close and Penrith will chip away right at the death. Might go bang, bang. You know how they jumped out of the blocks against you, Penrith? I reckon it might be more of a physical, nervous start in this game. And then Penrith just go bang, bang, bang. And all of a sudden it's like 30 to 10 or 30 to 6 or 30 to 12 or something like that.
You're fucking hard.
All right, moving on to your game. The Bulldogs are at home to the Dolphins, Mace. The Bulldogs are $2.25 underdogs against
Bundaberg.
Against $1.65, and the game is in fact at Bundaberg. Most of big names are set to return for Canterbury: Viliami Kikau, Josh Adokar, Jacob Preston, Toby Sexton, and third degree Braden Burns are all back. With Ryan Sutton also listed amongst the reserves, and new recruit Liam Knight, who could easily jump into the squad. As for the Dolphins, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido returns. Fido returns to fullback after two games in the centre, so Cody Nikorima shifts to 5'8", pushing Isaiah Katoa to the extended bench, mate. So I thought that was a big one.
Yeah.
Jerry Marshall-Kinn is expected to play, but he's been having shoulder dramas now for a while. Jared Wallace will come off the bench after successfully challenging his shoulder charge offence at the judiciary. So I actually like you guys in this one, Mace. I'm on the Bulldogs.
Depends. I mean, hopefully some of these guys get over... I think tomorrow they really got to pass their D2, they call it, day two before the game. So they need to get through that, like Kicks and Fox and a couple of Sutton, all those guys.
They won't get given all the way up until Friday for it? Do they travel on Friday?
They travel today.
Okay. So they'll do a fitness test up there. Where's Bundaberg? Queensland?
Sort of central. It's about an hour flight. Sort of central Queensland.
Central Queensland? Okay.
So, yeah, I was there last year. It's a fucking wild joint. I didn't go this year because I don't want to drink any more fucking rum. Honestly, we went last year, Terry Lamb and I, and we weren't part of the coaching staff or anything.
Just ambassador stuff.
Yeah. I was like, we went to all the rum distilleries. I'm like, get me the fuck out of here.
You would have done a number on
that. Body bag. and Bundy goes off. Yeah. Right? So we're up there for like a week.
Yeah.
And like it's just carpet was rolled out and Bar and I were just fucking tearing in nearly every day at like little local pubs and everything like that. Kalki Moon, which is a gin sponsor of the Bulldogs as well. We were there. It's like a distillery up there, gin. Yeah, they roll the carpet out, man. It's a great time, but I on purpose didn't go up.
And I'm on your dogs, Mace.
Good, good. I hope so.
You're going to be supporting them from at home on the couch for me because I might even have a little play on that actually. Responsibly, of course. That might be. I think that's a good bet, $2.25 against the Dolphins team. I know it's up in Queensland, but still, Dolphins aren't $1.65 favourites in my opinion. No. So I'll take the dogs. All right, moving on to the last game. Titans versus Cowboys, Sunday at Cbus Super Stadium. Our friends have the Gold Coast Titans, $3.15 underdogs at home because the North Queensland Cowboys are flowing. I feel like we say that every week. The line is 8.5 and I think that is not enough too, by the way, Mace. With the Titans, Joe Simpson is back in the starting side after coming off the bench last week. Clean Huss will then go to the interchange with Tino Fasuamalawi still out suspended, which is massive. You do not want to have your best player, your captain, out against this North Queensland Cowboys team, who are also missing a big name, Jeremiah Nanai. So Kuli Kefu-Finifuiaki moves into the starting lineup. Sam McIntyre joins the bench. Jermaine Tenor-Brown is the other new face on the bench, with Griffin Neame missing the game with a head knock. So Griffin Neame and Jeremiah Nanai are big losses, but not as much as what Tino Fasuamalawi is for the Titans, Mace.
I think that really the last week's game, that was their last sort of hurrah, and that just, I think, could go south from here big time.
I could see that too.
Yeah, it's just like when you go, you get beat, it's like 36-0 at half time, and this is a game where you're
finished
like,
36-16.
This is the game that we need to show up for, and we couldn't do that. Like, what's going to happen this week? You know, like it's a home game, I get it. It was a home game last week.
They've got to sort out the Jaden Campbell on the bench.
That's, you can't have him on the bench, man. He's too good. What do you run? Could 200 you 60 meters the week before, and then he gets on for the last. What's the point of having him on for the last 20 minutes?
Yeah. In like,
give him half a game. Middle, like, yeah. Give him half a game so we can actually change it. If that was half time, I'm going, Boyd, off, you're on.
Yeah.
A whole new half. It's like swapping a quarterback. Just get off.
Yeah, I'm on the Cowboys, and I'm on the Cowboys well. All right, let's get on to the NRLW. So, Mace, I had flicked over to the NRLW, had a little look. Going to be pretty similar this week. I think a few of the favourites, the heavyweights aren't really matching up as much this year at this point of the year. Brisbane, even though they lost to the Sydney Roosters, I thought were pretty good. Gold Coast Titans, they got the dub, but it was against the North Queensland Cowboys, who are a new team. I'm going to go the Brisbane Broncos. Sydney Roosters are $1.12 favourites. I thought Canberra were right against Cronulla, actually, too. $6, the line 14.5. I find myself leaning towards that for Canberra. St. George Illawarra versus Parramatta. Both of these teams lost and lost pretty badly. So St. George Illawarra at home, but sort of like the value of the Parramatta side at $2.45 because the Dragons weren't anything too pretty. Newcastle was super impressive. They won the competition last year. They beat the Dragons. They're $1.14 against the North Queensland Cowboys, who are $5.50. The line is 13.5 in that. I don't think it's enough. The West Tigers, they were the surprise packet, but they're coming up against Cronulla Sharks, who were solid friends of the show. Tiana Panattoni, she scores for me in my anytime jam. And Emma Tanigato didn't look out of place in the six jersey as well. She looked good at six. So
it's going to take a running game away from.
Watch out for the West Tigers. I think the West Tigers got a little bit about. I think they've got a little bit about them. So I think this is going to be a tougher game. I thought the lock. I'm forgetting her name right now. She's playing six for the Tigers. Looked like a Fijian girl with the afro. She's gun.
Do you think having that Tongagato at six takes away a running game?
Not really. She scored.
She just gets the ball and runs.
Run first. She got Jada Taylor at fullback as well. Who's that little dynamo that we
still rather her at fullback, man. Mm. If they can have a decent six, she can just part. Yeah, and yep. She can just link up with Petitani and stuff like that on that left edge.
All right, ready to get into the grateful eight.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah. When that green light comes on.
Ooh, it's a different vibe, isn't it?
All right, Brisbane Broncos versus the Sydney Roosters. I'm on the Brisbane Broncos, and a guy who normally scores for fun at Suncorp, I'm hoping he can do it at the Gabba. We're on my man. His name is Ezra. I actually prepared that one, and I wanted to get it out clean, but...
So fuck your best.
I thought I was going to stuff it up.
No, you got it.
Made myself laugh. All right, first game of Friday night is West Tigers versus South Sydney. I think a guy that's been a little bit underwhelming, a little bit under pressure, they set on 360. Lockie Ilias, anytime, $3.25. With Latrell Mitchell come back, I think he uses him as a decoy. Mm. As for the Melbourne Storm versus Parramatta, even though I don't mind Parramatta now with all the outs, I think Nick Meaney gets over for a try at Marvel. As for the Canberra Raiders, the first game on Saturday afternoon, which we clarified, 3:30. I'm on our boy, my boy, Callum Ponga. $3 is just too good a value. Yeah. At the moment, the odds that the tab are putting up for any time jam is as good as it gets. Saturday afternoon, or Saturday, Chez's 300th, basically. St. George Illawarra Dragons versus Manly. I've said it on the review. Chez has got to find a way to get this guy some more ball, and I think he does in his 300th. Considering everyone will be focused in on Chez, I'm on the juice, Tolu Kola. The last game of Super Saturday, Penrith at home to Cronulla. I've seen some really good signs in the Prince, Nathan Cleary. So I'm on him, $3.25. I think he showed some nice acceleration when he tried to go that quick tap. Speaking of acceleration in the same game, I'm on your guy, fullback. I love him at fullback, Mace. Jake Avarillo. I feel like no matter what happens in a game with the Bulldogs of late, Jake Avarillo is in the game. $2.50. Anytime jam. And the last but not least, Gold Coast versus North Queensland. Played with him in the golf show. We got the job done against him. Valentine Holmes on that left edge that got dominated for the right edge of the Gold Coast Titans. $2.30 anytime. Wraps up my grateful eight.
I'm always confident.
I actually really love this one. I'm not just saying it. All right, moving on to five of the best. I'm actually more excited and I'm more confident on this one.
Yeah.
So Brisbane Broncos versus Gold Coast Titans. Even though they lost, she scores for fun. She got the player of the series in the Origin, Tasman Gray. She's a gun. She's a back rower. She's 375. That is overs. Speaking of overs, Canberra versus Sydney Roosters. She's the captain of New South Wales, Isabel Kelly, $2.60. Again, big tick, overs. St. George Illawarra Dragons versus Parramatta Eels. I said both were underwhelming. Zali Fay wasn't. She scored two on the wing. I said she was going to score. She'll score again this week, $2.50.
Get on this, guys.
Newcastle Knights versus North Queensland. They were looking for her. Little Jessie Southwell was looking all game, but she didn't quite get it. She moves from the front row to the back row now. We're on Caitlin Johnson at $4.25. And I mentioned her name before, Mace. She moves to fullback. Emma, when you're moving a chick like Emma Tonegado to six, you must be a bit of a player. And this young up-and-coming superstar, Jada Taylor, against the West Tigers versus Cronulla, $2.25 to wrap up the five of the best. I'm going to hit – that's hitting this week.
I'll put $5 on it.
Responsibly, Mace, that's hitting. All right, but as for our LPC multi, our levels punters club multi, he's one of my try scorers. I think he scores and he scores early. I think this is a statement game for him against a team that's still in the eight but dipping and to show the NRL that he's back. Nathan Cleary to score in the first 60 minutes, and I'm very bullish on the Cowboys. I not only think they win, I think they win well. 13 plus.
100%.
The traders have given us $10 for that with a max bet of 25. So surely you're going to treat yourself.
Mm.
That's 250 of the best to get your weekend going or to finish off your weekend. But while you're also doing that, as always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You can find all current LPC bets under the Bets Friends banner on the Tab app. Enjoy your footy weekend over the weekend. Mace, enjoy your weekend. Oh, anything mate. Special coming up, mate? Just kicking back, watching nothing. The footy?
Yeah. It's time of year, man. It's not that time of year to go out. It sucks.
Yeah, it is. Pretty crazy.
I don't really
want
to go out anyway.
Yeah, either do I. Sit back, watch the footy. Footy's good. Round two of NRLW, round 22 of the NRL. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you for the review.